Continuing with our series of Ein Beins, there's no difference here in Megillah, Perek Aleph, Mishnah, Zion. Ein Bein Zav, Haroah Shtei Re'ios, Laroah Shalosh, Elakarban. There's no difference between a Zav, who sees two sightings, versus a Zav, who sees three sightings, except for a Karban. What is a Zav? So the Pasuk describes in Sefer Vayikra that there is a specific kind of tumah which is referred to as a zav. It's hard to pinpoint exactly today what that is, because I'm not sure exactly scientifically what it is. It's some kind of seminal emission, which is not the same as a balkeri. It's not the same as standard semen. The Gemara describes that it has a different viscosity and it has a different composition, and it's signifying a particular type of illness. There's something wrong here. It's abnormal. For a zav, it's something which is out of the ordinary. Whereas a balkeri, somebody sees a standard seminal emission, so that person goes to a tahara and a mikvah. They go to the mikvah to immerse to become tahar. When it comes to a zav, the zav needs to immerse in a mayan. It's a different kind of tuma. So this tuma is created when the zav sees twice, two episodes of seeing this emission. However, it is upgraded when he sees it for the third time. When it's a third time, you introduce the requirement for bringing a karban. When it's twice, it's a standard zav, and that could be on the same day or on consecutive days. But if he sees three times, either on the same day or in two or three consecutive days, then the zav is upgraded to require a special karban, which is two kinds of birds, either tor or b'nei yona, and he can't eat from karbanos until after he brings those karbanos. He can't eat from kachim until he brings the karbanos that he's responsible to bring. Ein bein mitzorah muzgar l'mitzorah muchlat. A person who sees what we call in the Chumash a nega, some affliction, some indication on either his skin or his hair, depending on the circumstance, it's not clear that that is an affliction of tsaras, which we could call loosely leprosy, but it's a spiritual affliction. So he would bring this garment, or he would show his house, or his hair, or his beard, or his skin to the kohen, and the kohen would investigate. And it's possible the kohen says, I'm not sure. Well, we have to wait and see, as it says in the pasuk. So the pasuk describes that we have to designate that person to be secluded. Muzgar, hezger, means almost like he's incarcerated for a period of time to ascertain whether or not he is a full-blown mitzora. So if he becomes what's called a mitzora muchlat, he is a final mitzora, that's full-blown tsaras, but muzgar is this in-between status. The Mishnah is telling you there's no difference between them except priya ufrima. In the case of the full-blown mitzora, it says, Begad of Yufarumim, he has to tear his clothing, and Rosho Yiyeh Parua, he has to uncover his head. But for other purposes, for example, being sent outside of the camp, both the temporary, this in-between Mitzorah, and the permanent, the full-fixed Mitzorah, required to be sent out of the camp, and then they both have to go through the process of tahara, of purification, to re-enter. Last case in this Mishnah, Ein Bein Tar Mitzoch Mitoch Hezger, Letar Mitoch Hechlet. The reintroduction process back to the community, the tahara, the purification process, when you're coming out of the intermediate stage versus coming out of full-blown saras of hechlit, it's the same. Ella tiglachas vitziporim. In the case of the full-blown mitzora muchlat, the full mitzora, he has to bring tziporim, birds, special karbonos that have a special procedure, and tiglachas, he has to shave completely, as opposed to the mitzora muzgar, does not require these steps. Mishnah Ches, number 8. Ein bein svarim letfilin mezuzos. There's no difference between svarim, which in this context, books here mean kisvei hakodesh, holy books of the 24 svarim of Tanakh, Torah, Neviim, and Ksuvim. Unlike ein bein letfilin mezuzos, there's nothing unlike tefillin mezuzos. They're all the same. Ella, shasvarim, according to this Mishnah, svarim are nechtavim b'chol lashon. In theory, you could write a Sefer Torah, a Navi, a Ksuvim, in any language, in any script of any language. Utfilin mezuzos, but tefillin mezuzos ain't nechtavas ala ashuris. They are only written in ashuris, which is what we call the Sefer Torah type of block print. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Af besvarim, even when it comes to svarim, lohitiru sheikasvu ela yavanis. They only permitted the writing of Kisvei HaKodesh in Yavanis. Why? Because the Gemara quotes a pasuk that we say about Yefes, the son of Shem, Yaft Elokim LeYefes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu endowed beauty to Yefes, V'yishkom Be'olei Shem, it should rest in the tents of Shem. So when you have Shem, the Shem Havaya, the Shem of Kedusha, of Kisvei HaKodesh, of Sfarim, that coexists and it actually can be harmonized and beautified by the presence of the Greek script. It teaches us just a general overarching perspective that the world of Yefes, the world of the aesthetics and the beauty, does have a place in Yiddishkeit. Even though we say Sheker Achein Vehevel Ayofi, that beauty is vain and empty, but that's not 100%. That's only when it's empty because it's vacuous. There's no spiritual content. When it's Be'olei Shem, in the tents of shame, Isha Yiras Hashem Hi Tishalo, we praise a woman who has Yiras Shemayim. If she has Yiras Shemayim, then even the chain and the yofi, even the external beauty, is valuable because it's Be'olei Shem. Adkan Mishnah Ches.